Amen. Amen. Shouldn't we say hallelujah or something after that? Good grief. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And we just thank you for your mercy that you have died in our place, that we are forgiven, and we praise your holy name. And I just pray you would anoint our time together, touch each person and open their heart to see the things of the Word, anoint me, the Spirit, that only speak words of the Spirit. And so we give you this service, and we thank you that we come together and just celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear God, we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. He has risen. He has risen. Amen. You know, it's the most significant fact, the most significant fact in world history and in the universe is that Jesus is risen. You know, all of it, rest of it, just kind of noise. I mean, it is, you know. The significant fact of the whole world is that Jesus has risen. Now, as we come this Sunday and focus on Christ's resurrection, I think it's also important to understand that, I mean, the miracle that he arose, you know, from the dead, just is so powerful. But I think for us to even understand the resurrection, we need to know why he died. You know, why did he die? I mean, the resurrection is so powerful. But there's a reason he died in the first place. And so we want to look with that and then end up with the resurrection, okay? And so you see the title to the message is Jesus' Blood. Now, I didn't talk to Adam, I didn't talk to Greg, I didn't talk to them, but they all hit on Jesus' blood, you know, because wrapped in with the resurrection and Easter, you can't get away from that. You can't get away from that and the importance. And so our opening verse this morning is going to be Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22. And it says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. No forgiveness of sins. This is a truth. This is a truth shared by all believing Christians. Without a doubt, if they're a believing Christian, they believe this and they hold on to that just across the board. Jesus died on the cross, shedding his blood, paying the penalty for our sins. He served as a substitute for us on the cross. Now, what does that mean? Based on our sins, we should have died on that cross. But he died in our place. He died in our place for our sins. And he didn't have any sins to suffer for because he was perfect. So he's the perfect sacrifice to pay our sins. So we see, and this is necessary, ties in it, necessary, because God says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. It's really significant, and you see the dynamic of the results of sin is death. Now, so as we look at that, and we know that those general truths, this was true even in the Old Testament. This whole thing about the shedding of blood for the sins of the people was true in the Old Testament. In fact, it was instituted in the Old Testament through Moses, and we see it in the law. But what we have in the Old Testament, and you know me, it's so important to tie all this together, but we have in the Old Testament, we have animal sacrifices, the shedding of blood that was necessary for the salvation of man. That's why it was put in place. Look at the blood. It's necessary for the salvation of man, but it was through animal sacrifice. So we have thousands of years of that. But now, okay, through Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, all the Old Testament animal sacrifices ended. All God's people said, it's over. All that ended. All that was related all through the Old Testament, all that temple worship, it was ended when Jesus shed his blood. All over. It's all over. Now, as we say that coming up here, and we've been going through the book of Hebrews, which is important to see where this falls out, because the book of Hebrews, specifically written to the Jews, but to all people, to understand how Jesus came to earth, and he's the great high priest, and he is the one that took away our sins. Now, we've all gone over the temple worship, we went the Sunday before last, and we saw how everything in the temple was a picture of what Jesus did and his ministry. It was a picture. You could almost put Jesus on everything in that temple worship. And we went over and talked about that. But that was a physical picture. That was a copy to show that we could see what Jesus was ultimately going to do. And now at the resurrection, we see what happened. Jesus, when he died, animal sacrifices, temple worship went away. But also when he died, after he arose from the dead, this is what happened. This is what happened to Jesus when he arose from the dead. Look at Hebrews 9:12. Jesus entered once and for all into the holy places in heaven. You see what happened? Old Testaments, copies. Jesus, once and for all, entered into the holy places in the heavens, not by animal sacrifices, but by the means of his own blood, securing our eternal redemption. Done deal. Done deal. But he did it in heaven. We have this picture on earth, but he did the real thing in heaven. And the blood was his. Not a goat, not a sheep. It was his. It was his blood is how he entered in. So what we have here is the church, the reality of the church, the Christian church, believing Christian church. And the reason I keep saying that, there's some churches and so-called, they're not Christians, and they're not Christian churches. Because if you deny Christ, you're not Christian. You know, if you deny what he did, you're not a Christian. Okay, we can say, oh, we'll end all this love and stuff. Good for you, but you're not Christian. So the Christian church holds on that Christ changed everything. Jesus changed everything. No more animal sacrifices. No more religious festivals. No more priesthood. No more temple worship. Done. I always like to do this. Why? Why? Jesus ended it. Ended. Someone told me, said they went to a church and the guy stood up. And I'd be scared to death to do this. I know if I did this, it'd go back to the Old Testament and lightning would strike me and God would kill me. I mean, I couldn't get away with it. I know. But he went to a church and the guy stood up and says, welcome into the temple of God and I serve as the high priest of God. I go, ooh. You know, I encourage you, anytime you hear that, hit the door and get out. You know, I mean, that is just such nonsense in a Christian sense. In a Christian sense. Because, no, Jesus ended that. He is the high priest. He is the priest. See? And we share what he says. And he is the one we go to. He is the one we worship. Period. Period. So what we have with Jesus, what Hebrews reveals to us, Jesus, we have a, if the statement it uses is fascinating before I read it here, we have with Jesus a how much more. You'll write that down in your Bible. How much more? Put it in parentheses. Because that's what he says we have with Jesus. We have all this other stuff. We have a how much more. You know, that's just a picture. Now we have a how much more. And the how much more through his blood, we have total forgiveness. Goats and sheep and constant flowing of blood. You know, what we have now is a so much more in Jesus, in his blood. It's a done deal. all of it ended. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people say, gosh, I wonder why, you know, why all this blood stuff? You know, it's like, oh, well, the important, with his blood, what we see is the magnitude of the price Jesus paid. You know, the magnitude. They, historically, you know, I like to read some of these things, and they would have feasts, old Jewish feasts, and they'd have sacrifice, and they'd sacrifice for different, based, a bunch of feasts, and based on the feast, they'd sacrifice all sorts of animals. And at times, they said they'd sacrifice so many animals that the blood would just flow through the streets. Just flow through the streets. Now we go, yuck. I mean, yuck, why? Because Jesus fulfilled it. All the blood flowing through the streets is his. Flowing through the street like a stream. It was his. And he fulfilled it. His blood ended it. That's the magnitude of what Jesus suffered. It's his blood, and in the temple in heaven established by God, he walks into that. Now, so here it is, Hebrews 9:14. It says, and I always, you know, like to share, when I look at these things, we're going verse by verse by verse. Or may skip a few because we don't have time to cover everything. It's flowing in a context to tell us something here. So look at Hebrews 9:14. It says, how much more? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience? Now listen. Goat can't do it. A dead, bloody goat can't do it. But Jesus' blood can do it. Cleanse our conscience. We mean our conscience when we're forgiven. Yeah, but he'll wash it out of your mind. He's, no, your mind. Cleanse your conscience. Cleanse your mind through my blood. And again, you see the focus here and the magnitude of what God's actually saying. So, how much more is Jesus' sacrifice better than animal sacrifices? Okay, how much more is it better? Therefore, at this time, Jesus is telling us when he came, Jesus' blood establishes a new covenant. Greg just shared with us the Lord's Supper, and he gave the blood. And Greg said it, he goes, and Jesus said, this is my new covenant in my blood. Old covenant, sheep, goats, all this. This is the new covenant in my blood. That's what he told the disciples. I didn't know that about the marriage ceremony, but the thing fits so nicely. You drink this, that means you receive into the union like a marriage with me, Christ and his church. If you receive that. So the whole picture you have here is just fascinating. So with Jesus' blood, there's a new covenant. A new covenant. Look, if you will, Hebrews 9:15. Hebrews 9:15. Jesus' blood establishes a new covenant. It says, therefore, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, the death of Jesus has occurred to redeem us from the sins held against us. I mean, we could get excited about that. I mean, we really could get excited about it. Like, oh my gosh, this new covenant that Jesus is the one he did with his own blood. He's a mediator of this new covenant. And it's occurred to redeem us, buy us back from the sins held against us. That's what Jesus' blood did. Come on, say amen. Come on. I mean, come on. That is my God. That's what his blood did. It bought us back. And that's what this verse said. He is the mediator of this covenant. He's the one that works us. And his death, shedding of his blood that we celebrate, passing of the cup, is redeems us, buys us back from the sins held against us. Held against us. I just throw this in, additional. How do we know we sinned? How do we know we sinned? Other than, oh my God, if Linda finds out, she's going to kill me. No, something a little worse. No, how do we know we sinned? The Old Testament law tells us. The Old Testament law tells us you sinned. You sinned. And he said, when Jesus comes in, he goes, you have, I agree, you sinned, but I cleanse you. Amen? I cleansed you. My blood. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal when I shed my blood because I did it to cleanse you. I did it to cleanse you. Cleanse our conscience. I always think, somebody else said this, but I actually thought it was really good. And maybe you felt like this, like you do something really bad and you just kind of want to come back to this. Oh, God, I'm sorry. You know, about 5 years later, you're going, I'm sorry, I did this. I'm sorry. You do counseling. People come in, oh, I did this. I need this counseling. I'm sorry, I can't get over it. And Jesus goes, wait a minute. No, I died and my blood cleansed. What? Conscience. If you know me, it's cleansed. The reason you keep confessing this is you don't know me. That really cuts into short counseling sessions when you do that. But the truth of it is, like, no, do you grasp the reality of what I did? The importance of it. Every time you think about your old sin, you should praise Jesus. I can't believe I'm cleansed from that. Hallelujah. It should focus you in praise to him. Not down in, oh my gosh, woe is me. See, it's always our attitude towards what Jesus did. Now, it's very interesting. Now, Hebrews, right, the next verse, it explains what this covenant is. It tells us what this covenant is. You know, like, I always laugh. Two things happened here when I just read it. It reminded me the first time I read the Bible. I'm just being honest. You're going, oh, poor one. And they'd say, you're redeemed. You know what I think? What does that mean? I mean, redeemed, I'm not sure what redeemed is, and then just would drink. I don't get it. I don't get what redeemed is. So that's the reason for me, I'll say this, Jesus actually bought you back. For any of you that don't understand redeemed, like me. See, so I would have problems with that, those words, you know, and in covenant, get out of here. All the kids I ever ran around with high school, they never made a covenant with anything. Wouldn't know what a covenant was. You know, if it did, I thought it was a witchcraft covenant or something. But I would have had no clue the covenant. And so now I don't feel so bad because here in Hebrews it says, you don't know what a covenant is, so let me explain it to you. Amen? So he's going to explain to us what this covenant is. See, he established a covenant way back in the Old Testament. Abraham, I mean, God established these covenants, calls them covenants, you know. And so now we have Jesus as the mediator of a new covenant. Well, a covenant is like a will, okay? Say you're going to die. You are going to die. When you die, you say, I'm going to make a will. I'm going to leave my money to whoever, okay? I'm going to leave whatever. I'm going to leave this to them. That's a will, all right? So a covenant's like a will. Now, for the beneficiary to receive anything, the person who made the will has to die. See? He has to die. You know, here's my will. And it's a will for all eternity. We'll go up in the rapture. You get nothing. Because I never die. Anyway, but you get my point. You got to die to get something from the will. And so Jesus goes, I made a new covenant. See, here the old will was put into effect by the blood of animals. Here's a covenant, so it killed all these animals. That was a copy of the death that's come. That's the old covenant. But now we have a new covenant that's put into effect by the blood of Jesus. He had to die. For it to be effective, he had to die. Wrote it out. Here's the new covenant. But it's only in effect if the person who wrote it dies. Jesus wrote it, and so he had to die so it would become effective. That's the covenant. And he is the mediator of a new covenant that's put into effect by his blood. By his blood. Now through the death of Jesus, we receive total forgiveness. For us to receive total forgiveness, he had to die. That's the only way we get to heaven. When Jesus died. That's why he died. Because that's the only way we can get to heaven. And he put in effect this new covenant. Because he loves us. He paid the penalty for our sins. He said, hey, I paid the penalty for our sin. You're in. Good. Come on in. No. That's a superficial covenant. No, to make it the real thing, got to die. And the blood makes it effective. That's what he did. That's what he did. This is the center of Christianity. We are forgiven. Also tells you, you know, people, you know, be a good Christian. I'm forgiven, but I got to do this, 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 and this, and this to prove my worth. Jesus goes, no. You're just off base. You're just off base. You're going to be so frustrated trying to do good for everybody. By the time you're going to get to the end of it, and before it's in, you're going to slap somebody or something, be mad at them because they don't do what you want them to do. And I'm serving Jesus, and you ought to do what I'm going to do. In the name of Jesus, we're going to have it out. You see what I'm saying? Jesus goes, no, you missed the whole thing. You got the whole deal. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. It's like your kids. I always like to pick on your kids. Your kids have to do nothing to be your kids. You'd like for them to do a few things, maybe, or you maybe will come back to like me. I'm going to strangle you. Well, excuse me. I should. You know? But even if you do, they're still your kids. You know? You just can't. They're just your kids. You're in. You're in or you're not. We're with Jesus. We're in. We're his kids. Whether we obey him or not, we're his kids. But you love him and through the Holy Spirit and things, then you start trying to behave and understand what he wants out of love for him. So it's motivated from within. And you know how happy God is? I tell you how happy God is. You're telling your kids for years, get in your room. Clean up your room. Clean up your room. Clean up your room. You're having now you get mad before you even get up there because you know they hadn't cleaned their room up. And you just tell them, clean up the room. You hadn't even looked at it because you know it's dirty. They hadn't done it. They clean it. Then one day they come out and say, Mom, I cleaned out my room. Now, if you don't have a heart attack, you may just go to your knees. You know, oh, my God, something's wrong. We're going to take you to the doctor. You know, this is something. See? But if it finally gets, he went in and cleaned his room on his own. On his own, he did that. Like, praise the Lord. That's what God does with us. Oh, my God, they finally did something right. Hallelujah. We got in through the blood. We don't get out anyway. We're his kids. We're his kids. You see what I'm saying? Now, there's a few things we can talk about, discipleship, what have you, okay? But the point of it is what God is making us here is through Jesus' blood, we're in the will. And he died so that we would be in. He didn't die so that we had to do something. He died so that we believed in him. We're cleansed. And we believe he died for us. Now here, and now, so here's what it says. Now through the death of Jesus, we receive total forgiveness. And this is how it explains the will. Look at Hebrews 9:16. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. You know, can't fake your death. I mean, it's got to be established. You really got to. For a will takes effect only at death. Since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Jesus hadn't done. As long as he was alive, the will wasn't enforced. He had to die for it to become valid, for us to receive what he wanted. He had to die. Now, what's necessary, you look at this, and God is always amazingly consistent, amazingly slow, but amazingly consistent, because you have in the Old Testament for a couple of thousand years of these copies and of these sacrifices that are a picture of Jesus to come, are a picture of what's to happen. Then he comes up with the time of Jesus, and you say, okay, you see all this happen. You see the temple worship, you see the priest worship, you see the sacrifices, and we've went over a bunch of things. Okay, you see all that. Now you've got the picture. There's the copy. There's the copy. Gallons and streams of animal blood have flown through the streets of Jerusalem. Now you have the picture. Jesus going, now I die. It all ends. It all ends. This helps with a lot of religions. Christianity is a good religion. I mean, I like it anyway. It's a good religion. And it's like, and stay with me a little bit as I say this. Don't get up and leave when I say this. But it's like, you believe in Jesus, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. Did you know there's only two covenants that the Lord left the church? How many of you been in a big church? You come in, they have all sorts of things, or lessons, all sorts of rituals. And I'm not saying those are bad. All sorts of things to do. I'm just saying you don't have to do them. You don't have to do them. In the New Testament, God left two things that the church needed to do. Anybody know what it is? Baptism and communion. That's it. He says, you believe me, you should be baptized. And he says, to show that you mean it. I mean, okay. And he says, you should take communion. Greg just did. That's it. And I just want you to think of your favorite church, or am I talking about believing churches? And you do these things, it's people who have good reasons, and that's good. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying you don't have to. Think of something right now. Think of something. Church, whatever you think, you don't have to do it. What do I have to do? I have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did for me is complete and done by his blood. And I can't do anything to add to that. Now, if you do something on purpose I need to do this to add so I will be accepted, that means you're not a believer. You know what God calls that? When you say, okay, I need to do this to be accepted on top of Jesus' blood. God has a word for that. And he uses it two times in the Bible, in the New Testament. He says that's an anathema. You know what that means? It's a curse. When you have something you have to do to please me, that's a curse to me. That's a curse to me. How many of you have a law? Like, if I do these things, then I'm good enough to be accepted. Okay? I do. Now, by the way, I like all y'all's kids, and I hope you haven't behaved. You know, I mean, I'm into disciplining kids, you know. I go along with their, your kids, you know, well, then take care of them. All right, but Jesus, if we believe in him, we are forgiven, we are totally in because we're cleansed by his blood. We can't add to that. We can't add. Now, there's things because we believe that and love Jesus, and though we act those things out because we love Jesus. Okay, that's a good thing. But if we say, here is something we have to do to please Jesus, if we add a law, we have to do this law to please Jesus. You know what the Bible says about that? You're severed from Christ. Whoa. Okay? Hey, if God moves you to do things and you seek him out to do what he says, you know, and he'll lead you and guide you, and you seek him out and you're motivated by the love of Christ, you do all sorts of things for Christ. But if you do something to prove your worth, you're severed from Christ. That means you have no power. You have no power. It also kind of means you have no connection with Christ. You want it, you got it. So you see the importance when it talks about Jesus' blood. We need to take serious what Jesus, he didn't die this terrible death so that we could do stuff to help him along. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. See, now, so what we do, we see the necessity of Jesus' blood, because we can't get there except through his blood. And Jesus had to die for the new covenant to make it come into effect. He had to not. It wouldn't work, you know? You know, it's kind of like us. We'd like a lot of things, but we don't want to pay the price. You know, he paid the price. He paid the price. So listen to this. Now, I paraphrase this verse, so you can go back and read it on your own. But I paraphrased it, what Jesus did, okay? And again, you got 2,000 years of Old Testament sacrifices, temple worship, la-de-de-la-la, okay? Oh, my gosh. I won't keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, I want to remind you, the Jewish system had like, it wasn't 10. It's 650. I'm just telling you, you ain't doing it. I have questioned if you can keep the 10. I know you ain't keeping the 650. See, God, you know what Jesus said? He said, you can't keep the 650. And I just gave you the 650 to show you that you need me. That's why I put it there. Oh, my God, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. So, 2,000 years of law. Temple worship, and then we have Jesus. Listen to Hebrews 9:23. A little bit of paraphrase by me. Thus is important. Thus is actually there. Okay, so thus 23 is because of thus what was before. I told you all this stuff. So thus, therefore, the copies on earth were purified with the blood of animals. That's right. I've been, you know, talking 20 minutes about it. You're thinking, right? Look at that. Thus, the copies on earth were purified with the blood of animals. But, that but's there, contrast. But, the heavenly things must be purified with better things, the blood of Jesus. There it is. That's it. You want to know what religion is? That's it. Right there. I mean, we can add all the stuff we want to. But this is all there is. This is all there is. This is why Jesus had to die. Next verse, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands. It was there when he is alive. He said, no, that's not what I went into. All that religious stuff. For Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hand, which are copies of the true things. But after he arose from the dead, he entered into heaven itself. And he entered in heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. All God's people said. I left out three important words. Three really important words. The last part of that verse. He entered heaven itself before God. Before God. Why? On our behalf. It's for us. He didn't have an issue. He didn't have a problem approaching God. It never was an issue with Christ. It came down. No. He entered. He appeared in the presence of God on our behalf. He paid our penalty. He walked in cleansed by his blood. He was cleansed beforehand, but he walked in with his blood to cleanse us. And we kind of, you know, you ever heard about hanging on somebody's shirt tail? We get on there hanging on his shirt tail. Cleansed. Totally cleansed by the blood. And he went before God, and we come in on his behalf. That's how we get to heaven. Not what we do, by trusting him. By trusting him totally and fully. Totally and fully. Now, I want to read this verse. I was trying to think. I always had like a Pekeko tell Rich, we need a drum roll. We need, you ever, I went to his church one time. They had a, what's those things, the horns? They blow them, the shofar, big ram's horn. Y'all help me. Shofar. And it's a Jewish deal, and the big ram's horn. Well, I went to this church, and I sat in there in this little different church. I said, and halfway through the message, these folks just started jumping up. And they had shofars, these big stinking ram horns. And they started going, whoa. You know, I thought, I don't know what's happening here. You know, wasn't sure what's going on. But, I mean, the way they worship, and that's that little religious deal they added, and that's good, and I think God was probably happy with it. Scared the living daylights out of me. I mean, oh, see, well, we need a shofar. Now, right now, if somebody just had one, we need Rich's drum roll. Adam to do a shofar. Maybe Greg do a shofar, you know. I'd like that. I'm telling you, this next verse, this is it. I have on my notes, scream hallelujah. Tell everyone to listen. So I don't know what to do. Richard's not going to play the drums, and we don't have any chauffeurs. So let's just look. It all comes down to this. Everything comes down to this. All right? Hebrews 9:26. Jesus has appeared once for all at the end of ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christianity 101. That's it. That's it. That's all you need. That's all you need to get to heaven. Right there. How many say, well, to join our church, you have to sign this. Well, maybe to join our church, but not to get to heaven. All right? You see? If you do this, you know, and then it's okay for you to do this. Not in heaven. This is it. Right here. He sacrificed himself. How dare us to add to that? How dare us to think we can add to that. I always have this picture, you know, like you go into heaven and this is totally made up, you know, but Jesus said, why should I let you in, you know? And like he said, Greg, why should I let you in? He says, well, Wallace told me, if he had a trap door, just ka-tonk. Wrong answer. Greg, my gosh. What are you thinking? I thought you had something going until you said that. See, There's only one answer. There's only one answer. As you stand before God, he says, why should I let you in? There's only one answer. I'm forgiven. One answer. By the way, shut your mouth. Don't add you did something. Don't add. Sometimes you're better off just shut your mouth. Forgiven. Because Jesus sacrificed himself. He said, you cannot add to that. And if you add to that, that's anathema. That's a curse. If you add to that, Galatians 5:14 says you're severed from Christ. It really said, don't make this hard. I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven. Oh, my. And through Jesus and Jesus alone. Memory verse. This is definitely a good memory verse. This is divine accomplishment. Here, I give you something about, you'll love this. Here's how you can make an assessment of all religions. You ready? All of them, worldwide. Here's the assessment. You have religions of human achievement. Right? Religions of human achievement. And then you have one of divine accomplishment. They go in one bucket or the other. And Christianity is the only one that falls into divine accomplishment. Every other religion, whatever it is, it's some form of human achievement. I have to do this to be good enough to be accepted and accepted before God. Christianity's divine accomplishment. Jesus did it. you add nothing. You add nothing. And in fact, if you add something, anathema. Anathema. Severed from Christ. Now, guess what we get to do? Celebrate Easter. Y'all don't look too happy about it now. I mean, celebrate it. This is a resurrection. You're saying, oh my God, not only he died and put this covenant into effect, then he arose and sits at the right hand of God and comes in before the God on our behalf. We have a home in heaven. Nothing can be held against us. Nothing can be taken away from us. And this is all, he's alive. He's alive. Amen? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I could quit here. I'm not. I could quit, but I just have to add this one to you, all right? I'm going to ask rhetorical. I hope it's rhetorical. Do you believe this? He's alive, all right? Then you have to believe what's coming up. They're connected. You have to believe this. It's a belief thing, not a do thing. It's a belief thing. The next verse, almost the next verse, Hebrews 9:28 says this. Now, he just said, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Done deal. Now, look at Hebrews 9:28. Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Oh, buddy, we ain't done. We're not done. If you believe this, he offered the sins, and one time he was resurrected, he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to bring to completion all things to those who eagerly are waiting for him. All of us, okay, come, Lord Jesus. That's a good word. Come, Lord Jesus, you're going to return. He's coming back to earth. Not only has Jesus arisen, he's coming back. So if you believe he's arisen, you believe he's coming back. There's a future, and he is coming back. And guess what he's coming back for? Us! I mean, we just like the center of his world. I was spouses. I talk to spouses. You always get in trouble, and they're always mad. One spouse is mad at the other spouse because the one spouse doesn't believe the other spouse is the center of their world. Like, nobody's laughing at that because that's so true. You don't want to say nothing. You're going to know. If I was the center of his world, I'd feel loved. You know? Don't say. But no. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you're thinking, it ain't going to work. Okay, just give it time, you know. Linda and I, a lot of good marriage counseling, and glad to walk you through that. Because it ain't happening. Not happening. And, you know, if he did, or her did, I'm just kind of off base here. If he was, said, you're the center of my world, you know what, tell me? This guy doesn't have any relationship with Christ whatsoever. Because Christ should be the center of his world. So I said, man, you got two things working against you here. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, all makes so much sense. So Jesus is coming back for us. He died for us. He goes to heaven for us. And he's coming back for us. It's sinner. Now listen to this. As Jesus arose, we also will arise. Now I'm going to jump to a whole new book, but listen to this. It all ties in with Jesus coming back. Jesus coming back. You ready? 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52. He's coming back. He arose. We're forgiven. All God's people say. Okay. He's coming back. 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall all be changed with Jesus Christ forever. Oh, God's people. Hey. Hallelujah. Happy Easter. Therefore, we close with this verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal. It's all for us. It's all for us. Jesus says, I love you. Now just love me back. There you got it. There you got it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you of what Jesus has done for us. We thank you for the goodness and the sacrifice and the payment of our sins, that we are forgiven for eternity. We are washed, cleansed by his blood. And you truly want us to just try to understand the magnitude and just love Jesus back for what he has done for us. And as we love him back, because he loved us first, Jesus loved us first, and we love him back, then we will have a home for all eternity with him. All we have to do is love him back. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.